Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, God. I bless God. I thank God for each and every one of you who are able to join in with us this evening, whether it be by phone or via the live stream. I would like to welcome you to this, the 977th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. My name is Pastor Tyleen Daly, your host for the next hour, and I welcome you to Study for Life. So before we dive in, you know what it is I'm going to ask. I have a favor, as I ask of you every month, and that is for you to send out a text message, put up a post, however you choose to do it, and let your family and friends know that it is about to go down in the PK. We are broadcasting live right now at www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Tell them they can listen in via the live stream or via phone at 319-527-6091. And however they choose to listen in, remember, tonight we are here for a conversation, not for a lecture. So if you would like to talk with me live on the air, just dial the number 319-527-6091 and press 1, and our engineer will bring you onto the board to join in with our live conversation on the air. Amen, amen, and amen. So now grab a pen or a pencil, get those Bibles ready and something to write on. But it is time for us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And before we go any further, we are going to stop and open up with a word of prayer. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Father. Father, your word says that we enter into your gates with thanksgiving and we come into your courthouse with praise. We come before you, we your handmaid servants, humbly thanking you for all that you have done for us, for all that you are going to do for us. Hallelujah, for all that you are doing for us right now, we say thank you and we just praise your holy name. For you and you alone, Father, are worthy of the glory, the honor, and all of the praise. Hallelujah, God. If we had 1,000 tongues, we could not praise you enough for all that you have done for your creation, God. If you chose to never do another thing, Father, you have already done more than enough. And we just say thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. We come surrender to you this evening. We come surrendering to your will. We come surrendering to your way. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask, Father, that you will move this evening by your might, by your power, and through your Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, that you will release a refreshing anointing of your Holy Spirit this evening, God. From the crown of our heads to the sole of our feet, Father, that you will flow through these airways this evening, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that you will speak peace where people are living in confusion and turmoil, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will bring healing to those dealing and living in sickness right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you will bring joy to those living in sorrow, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God, right now, by your might and your power, God, we ask, Father, that You know what your people stand in need of, Father. You said in your word that you are our Jehovah Jireh, our provider, God. We ask that you will meet the needs of your people this evening, God. Yea, God, even now some family is dealing in grief. We ask, Father, that you will release the spirit of comfort among them in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Most importantly, Father, we ask that this evening you will hold the enemy at bay long enough that some lost soul will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Then, Father, we ask that you toil the soil of our minds, that your word fall on good ground and take root, that when we separate from our individual places, yet never leaving from your presence, that we will be walking epistles of your word in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. And then I ask, as I always do, Lord, as I surrender myself to you this evening, to be used however you see fit this evening, God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I just thank God for what he is going to do this evening as we open up for our scripture. Today we will be coming from the 23rd Psalm. It can be found in the Old Testament. We will be coming from the 23rd Psalm, and we will be reading it in its entirety. Today we will be reading it from the King James Version. So we, again, that is Psalms 23, beginning at verse 1. It is only 6 little verses, and we will be reading it in its entirety coming from the King James Version. Amen. So now, if you can get your Bibles ready, and it reads as follows. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen, amen, and amen. And again, that was Psalms chapter 23. Verses 1 through 6, or Psalms 23 in its entirety, and we know that the word of the Lord is already blessed. Amen. So now we are going to dive right into our topic of discussion for this evening. Now, this is a discussion that was started about a week or so ago on a special edition of B Block Church, where the topic for the evening was, he maketh me lie down. And in that particular discussion, Sister Adrian was coming from the 23rd Psalm, and she covered basically verses 1 and 2. And that discussion got so good to me that this evening we are going to go over some of what we already discussed, but we are going to finish that discussion. I'm going to, again, as I said, we're going to do a quick review of what we discussed on the special edition episode of B Block Church. And if you want to hear that in its entirety, all you have to do is log into www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. type in Special Edition Be Black Church, and you will be able to hear the previous discussion in its entirety. Now, as we said a few weeks ago, or when we were talking about this, the 23rd Psalm is a very familiar passage of Scripture. It is one of the first ones that is taught to children and adults alike in Sunday schools and Sabbath schools. Sadly, in my personal opinion, it is a psalm that does not usually get the respect that it needs, because it is a psalm that is usually played at funerals or for sad occasions. So it is associated more with childhood and death, and we associate it more with that than for what it actually is. The 23rd Psalm is not only a psalm of worship, but it is also a psalm filled with provision, projection, protection, and promise. I'm going to say that again. It's not just a psalm of worship, but it is a psalm that is filled with provision, projection, protection, and promise. And we're going to go through all of that as we go into the psalm. Now, the first verse starts with a psalm of David. So that lets us know that this psalm was written by King David. And I say by King David because this was not one of the psalms that was written in his childhood while he was out on the field as a shepherd, but this was a psalm that was written later in his life. Now, at which exact point that he wrote it, no one is 100% sure of. However, most theologians now believe that he wrote it during the time that there was a civil war going on in Israel, when David's son Absalom created a rebellion against King David in Israel. And you can read about that entire story in 2 Samuel chapter 15. But whatever was going on at the exact time that King David penned these great words, we know that it was during a time that David was in some sort of distress, which caused him to begin to reflect back on his life. Now, if the census of theology is correct, then King David wrote these words while fighting a civil war against his son Absalom, then David was at a place of wonder and worry, wondering how did he get in that situation, wondering which way did the tides turn, and more importantly, how did he and his son get there? I mean, look at what was going on. He was at war with his son. His kingdom was at war with itself. And once again, King David found himself, due to situations going on, having to run for his life. What was going on and how did I get here? Now, why is what King David was going through so important to us as we study the 23rd Psalm? It's because it allows us to relate to God's word. It allows us to relate to the man of God. For I can say with confidence that just about everyone alive today, if you have lived long enough, has had some type of a how did I get here moment at some point in their life, or what just happened, how did I get into this situation. And if you find that you have never ever had any type of situation where you had to stop and look back and reflect to say, how did I get here, how did I end up in this place, how did I end up in this situation? I dare you to just keep on living. And at some point, you will come to a place where you have to say, how did I get here? And we always like to stop and think that that how did I get there place is always a bad place, but it's not necessarily a bad place. There's nothing wrong with this type of moment, because this is the moment that change usually begins to take place. This is the place where our perception of our situations usually begins to change. This is the place where we begin to reflect over what we had done that thus far to get us to that place. whether that place is a good place or a place where change needs to take place in. We've all had that time where we reflected back to see exactly how we got here. And that is the place that we currently find King David in before he begins to pen this 23rd Psalm. King David is reflecting back over his life. And when you look at King David and all of the things that he has accomplished, or all of the life that he had lived up to that far or up to that point, he had a lot to reflect on. He had an awesome life to look back over. Amen. Hallelujah, God. So we are just excited about that. Now, the first thing that I pray you notice about the 23rd Psalm and King David is what happened when King David began to reflect over his life with all the amazing accomplishments that he could have stopped at. He went all the way back to his youth. Now, let me make this plain for somebody this evening. David could have said, "The Lord is my strong tower," and stopped as he remembered all of the times that God kept him safe while he was running for his life. If you remember, this is not the first time that King David found himself in a situation where his life was on the line. This was not the first time that King David found himself having to run for his life. He went, didn't stop there, but he went all the way back to his youth. He didn't stop and say that the Lord is my strong tower, but he said the Lord is my shepherd. He could have said the Lord is my battle axe and shield and stopped at when the children of Israel were chanting his name due to all of the battles he had won for King Saul and for the kingdom of Israel. But he didn't stop there. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He could have said, "The Lord is my strength and my shield," and stopped at when he was a younger boy and he had killed Goliath. Everyone knows the story about David and Goliath. He could have stopped right there, but he didn't. He went all the way back to his youth. He could have said, "The Lord is my anointing," and stopped at when the prophet Samuel anointed him to be king. But he went all the way back to a simpler time of life when he was a shepherd watching over his father's sheep. That is when he realized that from then to now, God had been totally providing for him. From then to now, God had been projecting him. From then to now, God had been protecting him. From then to now, God had been fulfilling every promise that he made to him. It was at that place of remembering that after he went through all of these major victories that he had had throughout his lifetime up until that point, and in him going all the way back to being a shepherd, that he realized that everything he had been through, God was preparing him for that which he was going through right this second. And as he remembered that God had just been preparing him, he grabbed a quill and some parchment and jotted down the words, "The Lord is my shepherd." This great man who had an awesome relationship with God, this great man who God stated that when he sent the Messiah, he would be in the continuation of the line of King David, this great king who probably at that time was not feeling so great, realized that God had been preparing him all along, leading him all along. Why is that important to somebody out there listening this evening? Because somebody out there listening this evening doesn't understand the process of what they are going through. You feel like everybody has counted you out, and you may be wondering how you got to where you are. But I need you to stop and remember that everything that God has brought you through, everything that God has brought you from, and you can say like King David that everything God had done was preparing me for this place that I currently find myself in. And I can say as King David in confidence, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And for you who don't know, this is all about provision. For God said it in his word that he is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. The scripture says, I shall not want. Why is it that I shall not want? Because God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That was a place for somebody to shout right then and right there. I shall not want. God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. God, that is Philippians 4:19, it says that I shall not walk. Then he goes on to say, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And we're going to go quickly over these verses because, as I stated, we covered them in the special edition of D Block Church, and you can always go back and revisit to hear that in its entirety. But it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What does it mean when it says he maketh me to lie down? Well, the first thing that you have to understand is if God is your shepherd in his provision for you, he is leading you. And what I love, as I told you, is provision, projection, protection, and promise. And a lot of them interlock one with the other. Amen. Hallelujah, God. It says he maketh me to lie down. Now, when the shepherd leads his flock, normally he just has to lead the flock, and the flock will obey the voice of the shepherd. But every now and then, you get some sheep that like to run off from the flock. Anything could catch their attention. The grass could look a little bit greener. A bug could have gotten into them. Animal of prowl could have scared them off and separated them from the flock. But the scripture says, he maketh me to lie down. Now, what I love is Jesus said, he will never lose not one who God has placed in his hands. So even if you get deterred, God is going to come back and gather you in. And then it says, he maketh me. That means sometimes he has to force us. We don't always want to lie down when God tells us to lie down. Sometimes he has to take you by the hand and make you lie down in that green pasture. What I like about the fact that it says he makes us to lie down, the Message version of the same scripture, the Message version says, you have bedded me down in lush meadows. Now, when I look at the word bedded, I looked it up geologically. And when you look at it, the definition of it is about a rock formation. And what happens is that this rock formation somehow or another forms what is called a compact layer of stratum. And this stratum, what it does is it separates the old rock that is beneath it from the growth of the new rock that is above it. It separates the old from the new. Somebody out there already got what I'm trying to go to. It separates the old from the new. When I look at it like this, it makes me think of 2 Corinthians 5:17. And the scripture says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, the word become is a verb. It is an action word. It is something that is in motion. And to become means to begin to be or to turn into, to grow to be. It also means to qualify or be accepted as an acquired status of. When I look at what the word becomes means, it just reminds me that I am the righteousness of Jesus, of God through Jesus Christ. Not because I am righteous, but because Jesus Christ is righteous. And what this rock, when we talk about it being bedded, the bedded rock, that stratum represents your new life in Christ. You begin to become a new creature. That stratum covers or keeps the old away from the new. We become new daily, whether it is because we lie down in obedience or if it is because God has to make us lie down. But what I like about it is when we lie down, he lies us down in the process of him making me to become new. Hallelujah. And where he makes me lie down at, he makes me lie down for my soul to find nourishment. Hallelujah, God. The word of God is our green pasture. We always talk about he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, but we never talk about what the green pasture is. The word of God is our green pasture. The word of God is the food that nourishes and sustains the life for the new man. The word of God is milk for babies, is meat for the mature saints of God, and it is pasture for the sheep. What I love about the word of God is that you will never find it barren. You'll never find it bare. You'll never find it parched. Yet it is always a green, fresh pasture for faith, for the flock of God to feed in. Hallelujah, God. And as we are feeding on this word of God, as scripture says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Hallelujah, God. Now, what I want to talk about really quickly is with these waters is that we always talk about the still waters. But what if you look at life, what we realize is that even in the provision of God, even in the protection of God, even in the care of God, sometimes we end up at waters that to us do not appear to be all that still. And when we get to God leading us to the still waters, that is where provision and protection tends to cross over one with the other. Because again, although the scripture says he leadeth me beside the still waters, as I said, sometimes as we're going through life, the waters don't look too still. But what I love about the God that I serve, the one true living God, the Alpha and the Omega, is that he controls the water. When you read God's words, you will find that he can make an ocean turn into a dry highway. He can make high waters run low. He can make sour waters sweet and the raging waters stand still. Somebody might not believe me out there, but if you remember in Exodus when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt and they came upon the Red Sea, God stepped in and the Israelites were able to cross the Red Sea on dry land. Hallelujah, God. Or when the children of Israel reach the land of Mirah in the book of Exodus in the 15th chapter where the water was bitter and God stepped in because the water was bitter. They could not drink it, but God stepped in and he made it sweet. Or do you remember in the book of Joshua when the Jordan River was overflowing the banks, but the Israelites needed to cross? God stepped in and made the water stop flowing. And if somebody just said, oh, but those are all Old Testament blessings. Those are all Old Testament miracles. What has he done with the waters lately? Well, if you remember in Mark, the book of Mark chapter 4, when the storm came up on the river and the disciples and Jesus was all out on the boat and the disciples were scared because the water was overtaking the boat and they thought that they were going to drown and they ran and woke Jesus up and asked him, does it not bother you? And I'm paraphrasing right here. Does it not bother you that we are about to perish? And Jesus said, woke up and said unto the winds and the waves and the sea, peace, be still. And it was still. What I'm trying to let you know that God leads you to still waters. And even if the water does not look still, he can make the water still himself. Hallelujah, God. Isaiah 43:2, he promised us that when you pass through the waters, that he would be with us. And when we pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. In other words, that every water you come to, hallelujah, God, not only is he going to be walk with you as you cross it, with you as you drink it, but he is in it with you, and he calms the waters to make them sweet. He calms the waters to make them still. He can even make the waters in your life disappear when need be. Hallelujah, God. He says, when we are made to lie down in green pastures, he does it to restore us, to fix us, and to build us up. It is to rejuvenate us, and it is to restore my soul, all about provision. Hallelujah, God. The 23rd Psalm discusses the provision of God, and it also discusses the projection of God. And I call it projection, but we would call it direction. It's the way that God has led us in, the way that he has placed us in. The scripture says, for he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. God instructs me by his word. He instructs us by his word and directs us by his, by our conscience and providence. Those that feed on God's goodness must and will follow his direction. I'm going to say that again. Those of us who feed on God's goodness, those of us who enjoys the provision of God must and will follow the direction of God. Somebody saying, how can she say we must follow it? Because John 10:27, Jesus said himself, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So not only will we hear from God, but we're going to follow the voice and the command of God. How do we follow the voice and the command of God? Through reading the word of God, for God leads us by his word and by his spirit. Hallelujah, God. He disposes of our affairs for the best, according to his counsel. He disposes of our affections and actions according to his command. God directs our eyes, our ways, and our hearts, and he directs them into his love. Hallelujah. He directs us into his love, not the type of love that we want to always receive. He leads us into the type of love that he wants us to always give and to always give into unto others. And he does all of this for his name's sake. Not because I deserve it, not because you deserve it, not because I'm so good, not because I'm so holy, not because as many Sundays as you might sit in somebody's sanctuary, as many Sabbaths as you may attend to, he's not doing it for you, but he's doing it for his name's sake. Hallelujah, God. When his name's sake comes into play, he's doing it for the pursuance of his word. He's doing it in performance of his promise and for the glory of his own attributes and because of his relationship with his people. All of what he's doing for his namesake. Why is his namesake so important? Well, to understand that, you have to understand that God's name is his revelation of himself to men. Repeatedly, we are instructed to live for God's name's sake. God guides us for his name's sake. And you can read in that in Psalms 23:3. God forgives our sins for his name's sake, Psalms 25:11. God leads us for the sake of his name, Psalm 31:3. God delivers us from sin for his name's sake, Psalm 79:9, God deals with us out of his goodness for his name's sake, Psalms 109:21. God lets us live for his name's sake, Psalms 143:11. The point is that God does what he does for his sake, not ours. Hallelujah, God. Somebody needed to hear that today, because we think that it's all about us. We think that if we can get to know and do God's will, We thank that if we can get his forgiveness and deliverance of sin and life on this planet, we can get it for our sake so that we won't die and go to hell, so that we won't end up facing eternal punishment and separation from God. But the truth of the matter is that God does everything he does for his sake. We exist as God's people, but not for our sake, but for God's sake. We exist as God's people to embody his name. Once again, for his name's sake. When God acts for his name's sake, he is acting in accordance with his revealed character and to uphold the honor of his revelation of who he is and how he is, which has been set upon his people. And for somebody out there thinking, oh, well, no, who God is hasn't been stacked upon us. What God is hasn't been stacked upon us. If you are a true believer in God, how many times has someone come up and questioned you about what was going on in your life or what was going on in their life and why it didn't add up to the way that they felt as though God should have it played out, or why it's not being happening the way that we feel as though it should be played out? And we have to remember, because what God is doing is for his name's sake, for his glory, for his honor. Hallelujah, God. Now, I want to remind you that we are broadcasting live on the 977th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. I am Pastor Tylene Daly, your host for the next half hour, and this is Study for Life. I would love to hear from each and every one of you. The number to call in is 319-527-6091. And simply press 1 if you would like to join in to our discussion. We have been discussing Psalms 23 in its entirety. And so far we have covered verses 1 through 3. And we are going to pick up with the fourth verse at this stage. Psalms 23 and 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that we walk through this valley. We don't hang out in it. We don't dwell in it, but God leads us through it. I like the way that the Message version goes into the fourth verse. It says, even if the way God leads me into Death Valley. In other words, no matter how I end up here, I shall not be afraid. I will fear no evil. The King James says, he walks me through the valley of the shadow of death. Again, is something that he walks us through. He does not lay us down in the valley of the shadow of death. We do not hang out in the valley of the shadow of death, but he guides us. God guides us, leads us, or projects us through it. The next thing that I looked at in this particular verse is where it said that we will fear no evil. And the reason that we can say that we fear no evil is because we are walking through the valley of a shadow. Come on, somebody. It might look dangerous, but it's only a shadow. I might be dating myself on this one, but when I was a little girl, my older cousins and sometimes my uncles would make shadow puppets on the wall, and depending on which way you were coming into the room, the shadow could make you think that there was something big, something scary, something dangerous in the room. But when you got into the room, what you saw was that it was really just somebody's hand in the dark, and a light was shining behind their hand, casting the image of the shadow on the wall, which appeared to be scary. And because of that, I can say that as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have any need to have any fear, for it again is only a shadow. It looks more dangerous than what it really is, for it is just a shadow. Let me put it this way. If you were to see the shadow of a serpent, you might know that there's a serpent close by, but you know that the shadow of a serpent doesn't sting. If you are walking in, you see the shadow of a sword, you might know that there is a sword close by, but you know that the shadow of the sword cannot kill you. And in the same manner, the shadow of death holds no evil. Hallelujah, God. That was a spot for somebody to shout right there, because there is no evil in the valley of the shadow of death. Hallelujah. And the next blessing is the fact that even when you find yourself going in this valley, God stays with you every step of the way. Hallelujah, God. If you remember, God's word tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Hallelujah, God. And because he will never leave us nor forsake us, we know that he is right there walking with us. His presence shall comfort us. Hallelujah. And how does his presence comfort us today? Through the word of God. In his spirit do we find comfort. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Somebody might not be finding comfort in what they're going through because they refuse to open up the word of God. Somebody might have a hard time feeling the spirit of God because you can't obtain the spirit of God unless you first begin to read the word of God. The word of God will tell you that by his word and his spirit shall you find your comfort. His rod and his staff that they're talking about here in the 23rd Psalm, David is talking about that crook, that hook that the sheep would pass under when they were being counted at night as they were being led into the stables, or as they were being counted in the morning when they were being led out to the pastures, or the staff which the shepherds would use to drive away the dogs or the wild animals that would scatter or worry the sheep. It should be a comfort to us as saints of God that God is so cognizant of us that he will rebuke every enemy away from us, that he will guide us with his rod and sustain us with his staff. The gospel of Jesus is called the rod of Christ's strength. Hallelujah, God. Takes you back to that good shepherd. Psalms 110 and 2 says, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Hallelujah, God. So even in the midst of your enemies, God is saying that he is right there, that he's got you, that he's protecting you, that he's keeping you. And again, remember, why is he doing all of this? It's not because of you, but it's because of him. It's because of his name's sake. It's because of who he said he is, what he said he is, and how he said he is. Hallelujah, God. And while he's protecting us, the scripture goes on to tell us that he prepares a table before me. Again, look at provision, and now we're slipping into promise. He said he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Remember, before we said, I shall not want. And now we have gone away from us not wanting to having an abundance of. Hallelujah, God. We've gone past when we were at I shall not want. God was meeting our needs. But here, as he prepares this table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, remember, the scripture says he prepares this banquet table. I like the way the Message version words it. He says he's laid out a six-course meal for me. We've gone from need to abundance to desire. Hallelujah. See, when you just got a plate sitting in front of you, that's need being met. And sometimes you'll have a plate with some pots, and you might even have a dessert that need going into abundance. But now when you get to this six-course meal, when you get to this banquet table that he has placed in front of your enemies just for you. Now we are at the point of desire. And if you remember, God's scripture says that he will give you the very desires of your heart. And what I love is that he did all of this again in the presence of my enemies. Hallelujah, God. God stated in Psalms 110 and 1 that he would make your enemies your footstool. Some of us are so busy trying to get away from the enemy. Some of us are trying so hard to run from the enemy, to hide from the enemy, to make the enemy cease and desist. But what you have to realize is the reason your enemies have not gone anywhere is because God has made a provision of promise that he was going to take you to a place of overflow, of abundance, of desire, and that he was going to do it in the presence of your enemies. And then he says that he is going to anoint my head with oil. Now, we have to remember that King David is remembering his life as a shepherd boy. He's remembering what it was like to take care of his daddy's flock. And he got to this place where I could guess he was probably remembering when King Samuel anointed his head to be king. But I think it's a little bit deeper than that, because if you look at the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, there was a reason that the shepherd would anoint the head of the sheep with oil. Amen. And there were three basic reasons. So although you might find more reasons, we're going to go over the three basic reasons that he anointed the sheep's head with oil. And then we are going to compare that with us who are sheep of God's flock and why we need to have our heads anointed daily. And I'm not talking about anointed with salad dressing oil. I'm not talking about with olive oil. I'm talking about why we need to have it anointed with the Holy Spirit, for the anointing oil is nothing more than a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the reasons the sheep's heads were anointed with oil was because of bugs. Sheep are particularly susceptible to flies, and the flies would land on their nose. And these flies would travel up the sheep's nose and lay eggs, which in turn would become worms that would burrow into the animal's brain. Then once these worms got into the animal's brain, the sheep would bang their heads trying to get rid of the irritation. They could die from this. So each day the shepherd poured oil on the sheep's head and around its nose, and instead of the flies being able to go in, the flies would slide out of their nostrils. Now, I don't know about you, but I certainly have a lot of daily irritations buzzing around in my head at times. You got rude actions, bothersome comments, pesky mishaps, irritable people. Some of these get into our heads and cause negative thoughts, anger, fearfulness, sinful thoughts. How can we get them back? How can we make them stop? And if we allow these thoughts, they can bury themselves deep into our minds and become part of our lives and could destroy us. But we bless and thank God that we have a good shepherd, and he promises if I come to him every day, he will anoint my head with oil, and I can come back to him many times a day. And I can go to him over and over again with every little irritation and bothersome thought that causes me discomfort. And before they can gain a foothold, what happens is the shepherd anoints my head with oil. The other reason that the sheep's head is anointed is because of butting, as in butting heads. Sheep, especially the male sheep, gain position in their flock. They assert authority in their flock by butting heads one against another. And if the head butting, if the male sheep has big enough horns, or however the butting may take place, one sheep could do severe damage to the other sheep. So a good shepherd knows that if he anoints the sheep's head with oil, or if he greases their heads when they clasp their heads, instead of doing damage, they sort of slide off of one another without much harm one to the other. Now, our good shepherd, hallelujah, God knows that we as sheep of God's pasture, we don't always get along. We sometimes get into disagreements and arguments, but the blessing of it is that if we go unto the Father, he can keep us from harming one another by anointing our heads with oil. And the last reason that they anoint the sheep is because of cuts. Sheep live in dangerous situations. They go around barbed fences. They go around thistles, rocks, sticks, and the predators of the wild. It's not really a kind and gentle setting in the sheep's life. Even the greenest of pastures can have hazards that could harm the sheep. So the shepherd checks the sheep each day, sometimes morning and evening, to look for wounds that need attention. Adding oil to the wound brings about the healing. Now, I know some of you may not agree with me on this, but I believe that we live in dangerous times today. And we as believers in Christ sometimes get wounded, and sometimes we get wounded daily. One of the worst things from childhood that we often say is sticking stones may break our bones, but words can never hurt me. Well, I just want to let you know the truth of the matter is words can and do hurt us, and they cause wounds that go much deeper than sticks and stones, wounds that only the good shepherd can heal, and he can only heal us of those wounds when we come to him so that he can apply the healing anointing of the oil upon us. Hallelujah, God. And again, that anointing oil is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Then the scripture says, for surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now look at how confident David gets by the end of the 23rd Psalm, because at the first verse he says, I shall not want. But now he says that surely, in other words, definitely goodness and mercy shall follow me. See, I shall not want means that I know he's going to provide my needs. But when I get to surely, he is making this thing a promise. He is making this thing a definite. He is making this thing as good as a bank deposit. Hallelujah, that you can take to the bank and cash it. That goodness and mercy, all of this that streams flowing from the fountain of Christ, this goodness, this pardoning mercy, this protecting mercy, this sustaining mercy, this supplying mercy, this mercy, and how does this mercy get conveyed to us? It follows us all the days of our life. Hallelujah, God. It's sort of like the water when we talk about he leads us beside the still waters. When I think about his goodness and his mercy following me all the days of my life, I have to go back to the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. And I don't know if you remember the story of when they got thirsty and God told Moses to go strike the rock the first time, and then later he told them to just speak to the rock. But what you don't get until you get into the New Testament is that that rock, they did not have to go find, because once God brought the rock to them, the rock followed them. Hallelujah, God. The rock not just only followed them, but the rock followed them, and the rock followed them waiting to give provision of what they needed. Hallelujah, God. Look at the child of God with grace and mercy following him and her all the days of my life. Hallelujah, God. I like the way the Message version says that too, because it says your beauty and your love always chases after me. Hallelujah, God. Somebody out there is looking for love, but I'm telling you, you're looking for it in all the wrong places, because, hunty, it is right behind you. All you got to do is turn around and embrace the goodness and mercy of God, his grace in his mercy, his goodness in his mercy, his beauty in his love that follows us all the days of our life. Hallelujah, God. Then David ends with, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. He said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, this part, again, is promise, but it's a twofold promise. It's a right now promise, and it's a futuristic promise. Hallelujah, God, because you do not have to wait until you die to dwell in the house of the Lord. You can begin to dwell in the house of the Lord right now. You can begin to live in the house of the Lord right now, and you get to live there by accepting him as your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah, God. All you have to do is accept him in to your life. Accept the gift of God that he has offered over to you, which was his son, Jesus Christ, which is the good shepherd. Hallelujah, God. He is the good shepherd that will lead us, that will keep us, that will guide us. He is our provider. He is our GPS. He will project us and direct us in the way that we should go. He will provide each and every one of our needs. He will protect us as we travel along this life highway and journey. And then he will fulfill every promise that he made for you. And you can get there today by just accepting him into your life. And it's not hard to do. You accept him by simply saying this prayer after me. You say, Father God, I come accepting into my life the good shepherd. I come accepting his guidance. I come accepting his healing, his direction in the name of Jesus. I ask him to clean me up, to anoint me with oil, to make me new. Hallelujah. As he lieth me down in green pastures, as he leadeth me beside the still waters, as he restores my soul in making me new. Hallelujah, God. I surrender my life over to him. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. And according to God's word, if you said that prayer today, the very last thing you have to do is just tell somebody. For God's word says, if you believe in your heart and confess out of your mouth, then shall you be saved. So you have to tell somebody. You don't have to wait until Sunday morning, Sabbath, worship, Bible study, prayer service. You can call somebody up on the phone and say, hey, I gave my life to Christ today. You can call into the number 319-527-6091 and say, hey, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior today. But however you choose to do it, according to God's word, once you make that declaration out of your mouth, you are saved. Hallelujah, God. For those listening into us, we are at about the 3-minute mark. We want to encourage you to call in at 319-527-6091 to join into our live discussion, or you will be getting disconnected off the live stream in 3 minutes. Again, you can call in to 319-527-6091, or you can join in tomorrow at www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. Type in Study for Life, and you'll be able to hear the remainder of its show in its entirety. At this time, we are going to bring on our engineer, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson, who is going to give you some announcements in reference to tomorrow, and we will be right back after his word. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Real quickly, I'll give the announcements. This is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank each and every one of you for joining in for tonight's broadcast, whether you're joining us via phone or online. We thank you so much for your support. If you want to contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can contact us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can see your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello, send a prayer request, or just simply say hello. We greatly appreciate that. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. If you want to hear any of our past and previous broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. We can simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And we thank you so much for that support. Also, if you have an Android phone, you can just go to the Google Play section where you can just hit the podcast. You can type in Purpose Kingdom Network, and there you can just like, you can follow us there, and you can hear any of our past or previous broadcasts. Also, if you have an iPhone, there's a purple podcast icon on the phone, and you can just simply tap that, and you can just go to following, and then you'll just hit Purpose Kingdom Network, and you can follow us there, and there you'll get a notification each and every time that we have a live broadcast. Excuse me. And you can listen to that broadcast at your convenience. Also, with God's will, God's blessing, hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for Let's Talk About It, and that's going to be hosted by Pastor Daly, Sister Janice, and Sister Adrian. And we hope you join us tomorrow evening. And once again, with God's will, God's blessing, that will be broadcast at the 9 p.m. hour. We thank each and every one of you listening to us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And with that being said, that's going to be the end of the announcements. And Pastor Toy, the program is back in your hand.
I just thank God for each and every one who joined in, who listened with us this evening. We bless God for you. The 23rd Psalm, as I said, has been, it's one of my favorite psalms, but it has really been heavy in my spirit since we did that study about a week or so ago. So I want to first thank Sister Adrian for leading us into that discussion that day and for making this word of the 23rd Psalm reignite a fire inside of me. Reignite a fire of God's promise, of God's provision, of God's protection, and of God's projection throughout this life. And this is the part I love the most, is that if grace and mercy is following me, that means favor goes before me. Hallelujah, God. And it's the same for you. If grace and mercy is following you, then the favor of God goes before you. And I pray this evening that the favor of God will continue to go across to each and every one. We have a caller on the line. Before I close out, I would like to bring that caller in. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am here. What up, what up, what up? You know,
hey.
I had to Girl, you know I had to come on. Everybody, I'm sorry. This is Adrian. Misunderstandings, Alan. But, oh, my God, he maketh me to lie down. Ah, I love it. All I wanted to do was say I love you. Shout out, because we did the graduation thing and my son is going to college, y'all. Hallelujah. He maketh me to lie down, but it all works out in the end. It all works out in the end. I can't wait to talk to y'all, but I will talk to you tomorrow because I know it's getting late anyway. I just wanted to come on and say, oh, I love you so much. Oh, I love everybody on Purpose Kingdom Network. And don't matter if he's making this you to lie down, that means he loveth this you some you.
Amen.
Good night.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I thank you, Adrian, for calling in and sharing with me. And I love you also. I love all of Purpose Kingdom Network hosts. We just bless God and thank God for each and every host, for each and every listener, for each and every supporter. But most importantly, we thank God for his sustaining power, for keeping us. Because I need you to know it is not easy for us to do what we do, but I bless God for he maketh us, hallelujah, do what we do for him. And the way he does what he does is just an awesome, awesome thing to me. I bless God for each and every one of you who joined us this evening. Thank you for joining in. I'll see you tomorrow evening, 9 p.m., right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. See you tomorrow. God bless you. Good night.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.